Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 11 February, 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're near the end of two of the greatest chapters in the Word of God that defines grace giving. We completed chapter 8 a while back. We're almost to the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. By the time we finish this, if you don't understand what grace giving is, you'll probably never understand what it is. We are in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. And here we have the reward of generosity in grace giving. In the grace of God, Christians are blessed in three ways for their generosity in grace giving. First of all, the ones who give in grace, they will be blessed. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10, and that's where we are right now. And then secondly, the receivers of this grace giving, their needs are met. 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. And then third, God, the source of all blessing, is praised. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 13 to 15. So we are in the first. The ones who give in grace will be blessed. And we exegeted 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It sounds like this. Remember this principle of giving. The one who sows, and that's an agricultural term to teach the principle of grace giving, they were living in an agricultural economy. The one who sows sparingly, that is, miserly, grudgingly, he shall also reap sparingly. But the one who sows generously will also reap generously. When the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he had in his heart the principles taught in the Old Testament that covered this what we have in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And there were several places in Proverbs, and he understands all of this as he writes this. In Proverbs 11, verses 24 to 26, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but he comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others with grace giving will himself be refreshed. That's Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. And then in Proverbs 19, verse 17, the one who is kind to the destitute gives to the Lord. That is, he gives his soul to the Lord. And he, the Lord, will repay him for his grace giving. Proverbs 19, 17. And in Proverbs 22, verse 9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the destitute. Proverbs 22, verse 9. And the Apostle Paul was concentrating on these passages as he wrote 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. The key to the principle of giving is found, first of all, in verse 6, in the adverb phaedomenos. First of all, phaedomenos. That's P-H-E-I-D-O-M-E-N, long O-S. Phaedomenos. And phaedomenos is the word that means sparingly, miserly, generously. So that's the first key word in this verse. The second is in the adverbial phrase epilogia. And that's the preposition epi, and then E-U-L-O-G-I-A, epilogia. And that means bountifully or generously. So here's the two key words in verse 6. Phaedomenos, sparingly, miserly, grudgingly, and epilogia, bountifully, generously. The believer with maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation in his heart is motivated in his soul to give generously. Grace giving guarantees blessing. In grace giving, the believer first of all gives his soul to the Lord. Occupation with Jesus Christ, which motivates a generous mental attitude in giving. In grace giving, the believer sows in grace generously and reaps in grace. He receives great blessing from God. In legalistic giving, the believer sows sparingly, miserly. The legalistic believer gives with strings attached. He tries to bribe God for something that he lusts for from the lust patterns of his sin nature. Grace giving is not an amount. And we saw this in Luke 21, 1 to 4. The Lord Jesus Christ was holding Bible class, and he said, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain destitute widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I say to you, this destitute widow put in more than all of them together. For they, all out of their abundance, put into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. All that she had to live on, all that she had left at that point was 2 pennies. That was it. Was she worried? Was she worried that she was going to starve to death? She wouldn't have anything to pay the electricity, the gas bill? No, she wasn't worried at all. Because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, she saw the Lord Jesus Christ provide for her day after day after day. She's a widow. She doesn't have a job. There's a lot of young men out there. They don't have a job and they worry. Anxiety. Worry is a sin. It's a sin. You're worried about not having a job. You're worried about the bills and this and that. You're sinning. So first of all, you need to rebound. 1 John 1:9. Get back into fellowship with God. Fill with the Spirit, the spiritual life. God has promised to provide for you temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support. Every day from the day you believed in Christ right up to today. Promised. A fortiori. We studied that a fortiori of logistical grace, blessing, and support on Sunday morning. You remember that? Well, turn over there and look at it again. I think we need to look at it again. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I have a red letter edition here, and that's all there is here. All it is. Red letters. That means the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, stop worrying. Stop worrying about your life. Stop worrying about what you will eat or drink. Here's a widow. She doesn't have a job. Is she worried? Not at all. She willingly gave all that she had to live on. And that was only 2 pennies. She wanted to do it because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ and she had total confidence. He had provided for her day after day after day after day, and she had no doubt He would provide for her again. Stop worrying about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a job. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single cubit to your height? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. They don't work. They don't have a job. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more a fortiori, with stronger reason, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little doctrine? Now, one thing about this widow, she wasn't worried. She had lots of doctrine. And she knew who and what God is. She knew the essence of God. She knew the plan of God. She knew the logistical grace of God. And she saw God supply for her day after day after day after day. She was not a widow of little doctrine. She was a widow of great doctrine. And that's why she was motivated by the grace of God to give all that she had at that time to live on. Not worrying at all about tomorrow, the rest of the week, or the month. O you of little doctrine, stop worrying, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans, unbelievers, run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security in the middle of the devil's world. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. If you have the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that sets up the grace pipeline. And immediately down that grace pipeline comes 40 salvation blessing, and then logistical grace, blessing, and support from that day of salvation right up to today. If you have His imputed righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Absolutely. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You don't have to add to it. See? Now we're living in a time when I see a lot of believers worrying. You're not anybody here, a widow with no job, with nothing coming in, with only 2 pennies. And we have the most beautiful people in this church, the most beautiful ladies in this church are the widows in this church. They are absolutely phenomenal, absolutely fantastic. And they give their soul to the Lord. They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The widows in this church are the best of the best. And Deb and I, it's an honor and a privilege for us to take the widows out at least once a month for either lunch or dinner. Dodie's one of the widows, but her back is so bad she can't go to dinner, so we go to lunch, take the widows to lunch. And Deb and I are blessed to the maximum every time we go and take them to lunch. And I've been doing that for a long, long time here after studying the Bible, where the Bible says, take care of the widows. It's the church's responsibility to take care of the widows. And right then, We provide for them. We give the widows in this church on a monthly basis. We provide for them financially from the church on a monthly basis because of the Bible. And we have people here from Texas that come up here and they said, they've been here for a class and they said, you know what? Pastor Olson, you're the only church we know that does that. And those people, they said, you're doing it right. And as a result of that, they appreciate that and they send a grace giving to this church consistently and faithfully because of the way that this church provides for the widows. But you don't understand. They are the best. So, Luke 21, 1 to 4, here's a widow, but she wasn't destitute of doctrine. She had lots of doctrine. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She was occupied with Christ. She only had two pennies. She wasn't worried about anything. She gave everything she had to live on at that time in grace because she knew she had first of all given her soul to the Lord and that the Lord would provide for her and take care of her every day. She was not worried at all. She had a fantastic, relaxed mental attitude. So the widow gave a couple of pennies. And that's almost nothing, but it was absolutely everything she had. The motivation for this grace giving was she gave her soul to the Lord. She loved Him, occupation with Christ, and knew that He would provide for all of her needs, temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support. She had great blessing. And then Jesus saw the rich putting in lots of money in the temple treasury, but that was all legalistic giving, and they had no blessing. There is no blessing in legalistic giving, regardless of the amount. God only blesses on the basis of grace. When you sow in grace, you reap in grace. When you sow in legalism, you reap in legalism. Well, that was 2 Corinthians 9:6. That was a humdinger of a starting verse. Now that brings us to humdinger verse number 2, verse 7. Now, I have been here 49 years. 49 years. And some of you haven't been here 49 years. Some of you have been here a couple of years, some of a little bit longer, but maybe Florence, Francis, I think you've been here 55 years before I was ever here. Francis was here. And you've heard this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7, every Sunday. Every Sunday for 49 years, you've heard this verse. Now we get to exegete it. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. This is the adjective hekastos plus the adverb kathos plus the perfect middle indicative of proireo. Plus the dative singular of cardia with a definite article. Now we start out with hekastos. H-E-K-A-S-T-O-S. Hekastos. And hekastos is an adjective. And it means as an adjective, each or every. However, hekostos is often used substantively as a noun. And that's how it's used in our verse. And it is correctly translated, each one. Each individual or each one. And we'll translate it, each one. And then we have the adverb kathos. K-A-T-H long O-S. Kathos. Kathos is an adverb and it means just as or according as. And we'll translate it just as. Each one, just as. And then we have the verb proireo. P-R-O-A-I-R-E long O. Pro-I-R-E-O. All right, a couple of things on the verb. First of all, one, pro-I-R-E-O in the active voice, and we don't have it in the active voice, but in the active voice, it means to bring out or to take out. That's in the active voice. But we don't have the active voice. Point two, however, in the middle voice, and that's what we have in our verse, we have proireo in the middle voice. In the middle voice, it means to choose for oneself. To choose for oneself, to prefer, to determine, to decide, to make up one's mind. In the middle voice, proireo means to choose for oneself, to prefer, to determine, to decide, to make up one's mind. Three, proireo is motivation from the heart, from the filling of the Holy Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Proireo is motivation in your heart from the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Four, proireo plus the dative singular of cardia, and you know cardia. Sounds like what the doctor you go to, cardiologist, see? K-A-R-D-I-A. Cardia, heart. So proireo plus the dative of cardia means determined in his heart. Determined in his heart or been motivated in his heart. Determined in his heart, been motivated in his heart. Five, the verb to give has been left out by ellipsis, but must be supplied. How do I know that? Well, I was looking at Dana and Manti in their Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 183. And they say, in our verse, the verb to give has been left out by ellipsis, but it must be supplied, and when it's supplied, it is a customary present. That's Dana and Manti. You can go home and look it up in your Dana and Manti in your Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament. Just in case, you keep make sure Pastor Olson has not just had a bad nightmare last night. I don't have bad nightmares. I love going to sleep. You know what I concentrate all night long on? The next class I'm going to teach. And the next verses, they go through my mind and through my mind and through my mind all night long. And if that isn't relaxing, nothing is relaxing. Just thinking about what I'm going to be teaching on the next class. Yeah, sometimes I get up so excited, I got to go write down a bunch of things because God, the Holy Spirit, said, hey, here's what we need to. Yeah, here's. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So, Dana and Manti, in their Emmanuel Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 183, says that the verb to give must be supplied in our verse. It's been left out by ellipsis. And when you supply it, it is a customary present. And the customary present is used to denote that which habitually occurs or may be reasonably expected to occur. So I got that from Dana and Manti. See, I have all those books in my office back here. And I use them. I've been using them for 49 years and they're falling apart. Every one of them falling apart, but so am I. So am I going to order new ones? Hell no, I'm not. I'm going to keep going till I fall apart all the way. And then anybody can want them. Somebody has the gift of pastor teacher, they can have them. But they might want to order new ones because mine have all fallen apart. I open up A&G now and I have to Scotch tape almost all of A&G, open up my Hebrew, Biblia Hebraica, it's all falling apart. All my Hebrew and Koine Greek books are falling apart. But that's all right, it's because I use them. I use them again and again and again. So, this is a customary present, the customary present of the verb to give, which must be supplied, even though it's left out by ellipsis, and it means habitually occurs or may be reasonably expected to occur. Corrected translation. Each one, just as he has determined in his heart, just as he has been motivated in his heart, so give. All right? Each one, just as he has determined in his heart, each one, just as he has been motivated in his heart, so give. And then we have, not grudgingly or of necessity. This is the negative may. Plus the prepositional phrase, ek plus the genitive singular of lupe. You know, that's in a song too. Hang on, lupe, lupe lu, and all those things. See, those singers, they study Greek, that's all. So it's the negative may plus the prepositional phrase, ek plus the genitive singular of lupe plus the disjunctive particle eta plus the prepositional phrase, ek plus the genitive singular of ananke. Well, the negative may. M long E, not. May not. And then, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 235, tells us that the preposition ek is used as an adverb in our verse and makes this an adverbial phrase. This is an adverbial phrase. Now, if you don't study from the original languages, you'll never know this. And if you don't have these books, why, you'll just teach from the English translation, and that's where you are, and your congregations, that's where they are. But there's a lot here, a lot more. It's way deeper than what's in the English translation. Much deeper. And then we have Lupe. L-U-P, long E, Lupe. All right, one. Lupe literally means grief or sorrow or pain of mind. You're pained in your thinking. Grief, sorrow, pain in your thinking. Two. With the adverbial use of the preposition ek, which Arnton Gingrich says is how it's used here, with the adverbial use of the preposition ek, it means not with grief, not with sorrow, not with pain of mind, in other words, not grudgingly and not reluctantly. When you are giving with, it's a pain for you, pain in your thinking, with grief, then you're giving grudgingly. But this says not, negative made, not grudgingly, not reluctantly. And then we have the disjunctive particle eta. And that's long E, eta. Eta is a disjunctive particle. It is translated or ananke. A, N, A, and then two gammas together. This one, you translate it with an N, and then a K, and then a long E. Ananke. And one, ananke means necessity or compulsion of any kind. Necessity or compulsion of any kind. Once again, point two, with the preposition ek, ek ananke, you translate it or under compulsion or under pressure. Or under compulsion, or under pressure. So, corrected translation. Each one, just as he has determined in his heart, just as he has been motivated in his heart, so give, not reluctantly, not grudgingly, or under compulsion or under pressure. Each one, just as he has determined in his heart, been motivated in his heart by the filling of the Spirit, metabolized doctrine in his heart, so give, not reluctantly, grudgingly, nor under compulsion or under pressure. And then we have, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So on Sunday, come in with a big smile. I am a cheerful giver. Well, what does it mean? For God loveth a cheerful giver. This is the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article, plus the present active indicative of agapao, plus the accusative singular of the adjective hilaros, plus the accusative singular of the noun dotes. First of all, we have the post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. And gar is an illative gar, and the illative introduces a reason, and you translate it for. And then we have the subject of the verb. The verb is agapao. Next we have the subject of the verb agapao, and that is hatheos. definite article, ha-t-h-e-o-s, ha-theos. And ha-theos is the God, and it refers to God the Father. God the Father. God the Father is the subject of the verb here, and the verb is agapao. A-G-A-P-A long O. Agapao. That's our old friend. We have seen this all throughout 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We've seen agapao. And this, point one, this is the verb for virtue love. This is the verb for virtue love. Agapao. And the one who is the subject having this virtue love is God the Father. Two, one of the attributes of the essence of God is infinite virtue love. Infinite virtue love. Three, God loves His absolute righteousness with infinite virtue love. Wherever it resides, God loves His absolute righteousness with infinite virtue love wherever that righteousness resides. Four, since the absolute righteousness of God has been imputed to every believer at the moment of faith in Christ, God loves every believer with infinite virtue love. Since the absolute righteousness of God has been imputed to every believer at the moment of faith in Christ, eternal salvation, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, instantly God loves every believer with infinite virtue love. Five. However, point five, in our verse, the spotlight is on the spiritually mature believer. The one who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The one who has maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation in his heart. So in our verse, the spotlight is on the spiritually mature believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, who has maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation in his heart. Six, therefore, the spiritually mature believer is motivated by the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart to give in grace. Therefore, the spiritually mature believer is motivated by the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart to give in grace. Seven. Giving is a mental attitude. Giving is a mental attitude. And point eight, God love with infinite virtue love, the hilaros dotes. There you go. God loves with infinite virtue love, the hilaros dotes. Hilaros. H-I-L-A-R-O-S. Hilaros. Now, hilaros is a hapax legomenon. This is the only time that this word is found in the New Testament scriptures. Wow. One. Hilaros literally means cheerful, glad, merry. Hilaros literally means cheerful, glad, merry. Now remember, God loves with infinite virtue love, the hilaros dotes. So you got to know what that is. Are you a hilaros dotes? Two. When used with the noun dotes, and dotes looks like this. D-O-T, long E-S. Dotes. And dotes is the Greek word giver. So when used with the noun dotes, hilaros dotes is a gracious giver. A grace-oriented giver. A gracious giver, a grace-oriented giver. Three. For a believer to be a grace giver, he must have attained spiritual maturity. He must have grace orientation from metabolized doctrine in his heart that he has learned because he found a sound Bible teaching church, consistently and faithfully assembled in that church to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then for that believer to be a grace giver, he must have that fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Four, as a grace giver is a person. A grace giver is a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was the widow. That was the destitute widow who put in her 2 pennies, but it was all she had to live on. Did she think, oh, I don't know, this is all I have to live on. I might die after this. No, she never thought about that at all. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She knew who and what God is, His essence. She saw Him provide for her every single day, every day. She never worried about that at all. She knew she had under, first of all, temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support, and as a winner believer, greater grace blessings. So a grace giver is a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Five, therefore, capacity for grace giving is related to personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Therefore, capacity for grace giving is related to personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Six, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you will give in grace because you want to give. You love to give. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you give in grace because you want to give. And you love to give. You have the most fantastic mental attitude in your giving. Seven. The spiritually mature believer totally enjoys giving in grace. The spiritually mature believer totally enjoys giving in grace. So you see, for 49 years, every Sunday, I've been quoting that verse. This is the first time I've exegeted it word by word. It's powerful. It's powerful. I can say the word, and I can tell a lot of times the people listen to it, it's just like hitting a rock. Away it goes, ricochets all over the place. But when you see what God the Holy Spirit has put down here, the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, He's communicating what this is really all about. Sad to say, most Christians haven't got a clue as what this is all about. But the spiritually mature believer totally enjoys giving in grace. So, corrected translation. Each one, just as he is determined in his heart, or just as he has been motivated in his heart, so give, not reluctantly, not grudgingly, nor under compulsion or under pressure, for God loves a gracious giver. For God loves a gracious giver. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God, in His matchless grace, provides both the spiritual motivation, the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in your heart, and the monetary capital for grace giving. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God, in His matchless grace, provides both the spiritual motivation from the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in your heart, and the monetary capital for grace giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Wow. And you should understand that. Everyone in here, you should totally understand that, because you should know the essence of God. You should know the attributes of God, that He is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. The all-powerful God. the creator of the universe. He is all power, omnipotent, totally able. 1,000,000th, bazillionth percent able. I like bazillionth. Nobody's seen that yet. I saw it in my dream the other night, bazillionth. So, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. We have the postpositive conjunction de plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the present active indicative of dunateo plus the accusative singular of pos with the accusative singular of charis plus the aorist active infinitive of periselwo plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. Well, we start out with the postpositive conjunction de. D-E, de. And this is a transitional use of de. And you can translate it now or then or moreover or and. We're going to translate it and. And then we have ha theos again. Definite article ha, T-H-E-O-S, ha theos. And ha theos, again, is the God. Again, it refers to God the Father. And again, ha theos is the subject of the verb dunateo. The subject of the verb dunateo. So ha theos was the subject of the verb agapao. And ha theos, God the Father, is the subject of the verb do not tell. Come on, Pastor Olson, you can do a better job than that. Ta-da. D-U-N-A-T-E, long O, dunateo. Now, dunateo is found only three times in the New Testament scriptures, and all three times it is used by the Apostle Paul. Romans 14:4. 2 Corinthians 9:8, our verse, and 2 Corinthians 13:3. It is not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. So, it is very likely that this verb, dunateo, was coined by the Apostle Paul in his great genius under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit in order to accurately communicate this principle of grace giving. And all the way through here, we've been getting principle after principle after principle after principle of grace giving. This is magnificent because of the genius of Paul and the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Well, dunateo brings in the essence of God, the omnipotence of God, and if you know the essence of God and specifically the omnipotence of God, you will have grace-giving nailed down, because you know God, and this is what this verse, and God the Father is dunateo. He is the omnipotent God. He is strong enough because he's the omnipotent God. He is able because he is the omnipotent God. Well, this is too powerful for me to quit or to keep going in 30 seconds. I can't give you all this in 30 seconds. So, come back next week and I'll give it to you in 40 seconds. No, no. I'll give it to you in 1 hour. There you go. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.